Gift giving and in giving gifts, sometimes there's kind of a request part, and a lot of times people don't volunteer a request list, even though I would really appreciate everybody, you know, just give me a list of, you know, with the family and such. Just why don't you just tell me what you want, and then I don't have to go through all the trouble of having to figure it out and get you something that you don't want. But anyway, I was thinking about, well, what was I going to get for Maya, because I wasn't real sure. And then Jenny tells me, well, she has a list. And I said, well, I hadn't seen her list. Can you forward it to me? So she texts me over her list, a list of things that she had, you know, as a list for, okay, here's some options. So one of the girls had asked her to put a list together, and so she did it, reluctantly, I'm sure. But at any rate, sometimes those lists of asking for, you know, you're going to ask for things. Well, I had my son, Jared, he texted me the other day, and he said, you know, what do you want for Hanukkah? And so I said, oh, I didn't even know you were celebrating Hanukkah. But anyway, I don't need anything particular. And I said, well, I do have holes in a lot of my socks. And so, you know, socks would be a good thing. He said, are you sure you really want socks? You know? I said, yeah, I'll take some thin socks with mostly cotton, and I'll be good to go if that's what you want to do. And so anyway, but that would be, to me, that's a good thing. To me, that's in some respects, you know, there's times where it's better for you to go pick something out and it's a surprise, you know, that's a good thing. And but it's also sometimes a good thing to get something that people would end up getting and save them some money, you know, just get something that they're going to use, something that's practical. I always have been that way. I'd rather you just get me something practical, you know, if I need t-shirts or if I need, you know, socks or whatever else. But anyway, that's me. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Talk a little bit about this. Matthew chapter 7, start with verse number 7, says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And we'll talk a little bit about asking for good things, a Christmas list. Asking for good things as we look at this passage today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Lord, thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to look into your word. And we just pray that you'd encourage our hearts with it. And help us, Lord, to be those who are desiring good things. Help us, Lord, to ask for good things. Help us, Lord, to have our mind and our heart upon good things that will benefit us and that will be of benefit to others. And we just pray for your blessings that you would just use the time that we spend here in your word, according to your will, and you would prosper us with it spiritually, that we would grow and your will would be done. Just encourage us, Lord, as we are reminded of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. God answers prayer. He does. And sometimes it's hard to see that, but at the same time, He answers prayer. Look at this passage, and it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord does answer prayer. Now, that is qualified in the Word of God, because the Word of God shows us that there are certain types of prayer that the Lord doesn't answer. Which in a sense, you might say, well, then that's not really praying. And that's right. It's not praying in a biblical sense. Sometimes we think we're praying and we're not really praying. We ask for something, as James talks about, to consume it upon our own lust. That's not prayer. That's not real prayer. So define prayer itself, and it is biblical. It is following the biblical principle and the biblical commands concerning God's word, how we are supposed to request, make our requests from God. And prayer or our communion with God is more than that. It's praising Him. It is honoring Him. It is thanking Him. It is a lot of things. It is part of our worship of Him. But when we're thinking about prayer today and looking at this passage, we're talking about asking for things. We're talking about making requests of God. And so God does answer prayer, but does God give us everything we ask of Him? Well, no, not even things, not even when we're asking good things of Him, in a sense, we might not immediately receive them. But at the same time, so the Bible answer is, as far as just asking anything, well, no, he doesn't give us everything that we would possibly ask. I wouldn't give everything that my children would ask of me. There were certain things you think, well, that was just not a good, you shouldn't have put that on the list. You know, that's unreasonable. It doesn't make sense, because it's not good for you, because it wouldn't benefit you a bit. It would be bad for you to even have it. And so the Bible answer, because God is a wonderful Father to us, is He knows what is best for us. The Bible answer is no. But first, we don't know what to ask for as we should. Where the Scriptures tell us that. We don't know what to ask for as we ought. So the Spirit makes intercession for us. So He's standing in between, and He's filtering what we're asking. So in one sense of the word, we always know some things might just get filtered out by the Holy Spirit of what we're asking, and it was not a good question, it was not a good request, and it doesn't even make it, because He's filtering them out. He is, as the Scripture tells us, that He is making intercession for us. But secondly, we don't know how to ask as we should ask oftentimes. We don't ask in faith. We don't ask believing. We don't ask for the right reason sometimes. Sometimes our motivation is wrong. And so there are certain things, the answer's going to be no, but that He's not going to give us everything we ask. But thirdly, so we said first that we don't know what to ask for as we should. We don't know how to ask as we should. And thirdly, His answer to even good requests, ask rightly, is still sometimes no. According to His providential plan and purpose in our life, then it may be that He is not going to give us exactly what we have asked and what we request. Okay, so context. Looking at the context of this passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 is the beginning of what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught," who? Taught them, taught the disciples. So the Sermon on the Mount is not a general message of commands and promises to everybody in the world. It's commands and promises to the Lord's people, to the disciples of the Lord. So it's to believers. Chapter 5, verse number 6, still looking at the context here. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." See that? What our desires should be. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are going to be filled, the Scripture says here. Chapter 5 and verse number 20, just thinking of the context again here, says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Righteousness. A need for exceeding righteousness. I don't mean perfect righteousness. I don't mean living a perfect life, but he said, hey, it needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It needs to not be hypocritical righteousness. It's not just a mock. It's not just, you don't just do good because somebody sees you and then the rest of your life you live different. So the context of asking is a desire for exceeding righteousness, not just show righteousness, keeping the commandments, giving to the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Matthew 5 and verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Again, I think it's in reference here to among the brethren. But give to him that asketh. And so, looking at this gifts and the context, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, love your enemies. He says, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. Love your enemies. Verse number, chapter 6, start at verse number 5. And if you read verses 5 through 15, you see here that we're to be praying as God has commanded us to pray. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, and they shall be that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He said, don't be like them. Don't just pray for show. He says, but when you pray, it's like as if you're entering into your closet, and you're praying in secret, and you're not trying to show off with your prayer. You're praying yourself to God alone, personally praying to God and requesting of him. And he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Verse number 7. Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. If they think they'll be heard for their much speaking, just saying over and 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 over again, exactly the same thing. You ever get your kid do that? You think, quit nagging me. You know, quit nagging me. I'm tired of you. You know, why don't you just ask me and then trust me? Sometimes that's what we need. We need to ask and have confidence that he's going to answer and trust him. Don't just, you know, just ask and ask and ask. Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. I need it bad. Do this, you know, and maybe get more earnest in saying, do it, do it, do it. No, pray, make the request. He hears you. He heard you the first time. Make the request and trust him. Believe he's going to, that he'll answer. Verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them. Your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. He already knows. He knows what your needs are. Ask. I keep repeating. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father. So here's a model. He says, pray like this, kind of like this. Pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He says, hey, pray like this. Every prayer you pray, you're going to have to include everything there? No. But it's a model saying when you're praying, is your prayer life should look like this. Your prayer life should include these things. These are things that ought to be part of your prayer life. And so leave those things out, and we don't pray. We're not honoring him as our Father and loving him and hallowing his name as we ought. And praying for his will to be done in verse number 10. His will. Our daily bread. Just what we need. Forgiveness. Because sometimes we're, you know, searching our hearts and saying, Lord, I've sinned against you. I need your forgiveness. And lead us not into, and then being willing to forgive our debtors, being willing to forgive those that would come to us and have requested that we forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Praying as he commands, as he says, hey, here's how you're supposed to pray. In 6:21, He says, you need to keep your heart in the right place. Again, this is just, we're just looking at the context here. But in 6:21, he says there, for where your heart, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, your heart needs to be in the right place and not treasuring the wrong kind of things. So if you treasure the right kind of things, then your prayers are going to be more aligned with what is right. And then in verse 24, he talks about serving, not serving two masters. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Says, look, you've got one master to serve. Don't serve money. Don't serve a desire for material possession. No, serve your master, the Lord. And then chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 talks about, still looking at the context here, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, talks about judging one another righteously, how we're supposed to properly judge one another. It says, judge not that you be not judged. In other words, knowing that somebody's going to judge you for what you are judging them about, and they're just going to respond in kind, then that's not even worth doing. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So in other words, you're going to measure, or you're going to judge too harshly, we'll expect that you're going to get it back. And it isn't going to be any good. It isn't going to help anybody. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? So you judge somebody, you need to be looking at yourself, and you need to be considering yourself, and make sure that you're not judging them a whole lot more specifically than you would want to be judged, or that you would even judge yourself. Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. So in other words, just the measure of judgment, of judging, not hypocritical, thou hypocrite, he says. First, get the beam out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to maybe be a help to the other person, you know, get the mote out of their eye. But until you get the beam out of your own eye, you're never going to be able to help anybody, not going to be able to benefit them. So don't be a hypocrite. Don't have worse things going on in your own life, and then all you can do is criticize somebody else. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, he says. So at any rate, we see the context here, a context to believers. And it is a context that talks about how our heart is and what we're hungry for and whether we desire righteousness and loving our enemies and want to do what is according to the will of God, praying as God commands us to pray and going down that path and serving just one master, heart in the right place, judging one another righteously, holding the truth and sanctity. Chapter 7 and verse number 6. Finally, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. All they're going to do is just make a mockery of what you're going to teach them or what you're going to show them, then don't waste your time. Don't waste the energy. Don't waste the truth. Don't allow the truth just to be trodden underfoot. And so, looking at these things, there's a context here when we get up to now chapter 7 and verse number 7. And chapter 7 and verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Well, first of all, let's think about God's will is that we acknowledge our absolute dependence on Him. Secondly, God knows how to give good gifts to His children. Let's acknowledge our absolute dependence on Him. Praying is asking. Asking means you need. You have a need. Who are you asking? God. You have a need from God. You always do. You have more than just one. You have a whole lot of needs from God. That's why He says ask. Ask means you're acknowledging the fact, praying is asking. You're acknowledging your dependence upon God. Say, you know, if you need lunch money, ask. kids going off to school need lunch money, be sure and ask. And because it's an acknowledgement of the fact that they're depending on you. You need gas money? Ask. They're dependent on you. Trusting that person, trusting their goodwill for you. In fact, with God, trusting that He loves you. Trusting that He really does love you. Praying is asking. And it's for needs like bread or fish, as verses 9 and 10 say. Verse 9 says, "What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent?" Needs like food, like our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That our needs from the Lord God would be asking and trusting Him, trusting His love for us, that He cares for us. Praying is seeking. The Word of God says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find." Seeking is desiring His good gift for us. It's not just trusting. Asking is trusting His love for us, but seeking is goes further than just asking. Seeking is really desiring it so that you're motivated to get it. And the Scripture says, so seek, and He gives the description, seek and ye shall find. So it requires a pursuit, a certain kind of a pursuit after it. And so directions, you want the directions from God. You want, as you're seeking, you want to know, is this your will? And I want your will to be done. I want these good things. I want this righteousness. Whatever it is that we're seeking that are good, we are not just asking, but we're seeking. We want to be led by God. We need His direction and His guidance in our life. And so praying is seeking, and then praying is also knocking. What do you do? What is it when you knock? You know, you're approaching a door and you knock on the door. Why do you do that? You're hopeful that somebody on the inside is going to hear your knock and that they're going to come and they're going to allow you access. They're going to come and open the door for you, right? Knock and it shall be opened unto you, he says here. Knock and it shall be opened. What are you doing when you're knocking? This is an encouragement. All these things are just encouragement. These three words that are used here, these three metaphors that are used here, are used to describe something about praying that's an encouragement to us to pray. Ask. Trust. He loves you. Trust Him. He does love you. Ask. Don't fail to ask. Sometimes we have not because we ask not, the Scripture says. So ask. He loves us. Seek. He'll guide us. He'll direct us. He'll instruct us. Knock. Anticipate His welcome for us. He's ready for us. He wants us to come and to have fellowship with Him. He is ready to open the door, so to speak. Prayer is knocking, and it's knocking in anticipation, faithful anticipation that the Lord will commune with us, that He's going to open the door. Some people knock on the door, and you think, yeah, He's never going to come to the door. And He never comes to the door. Never does come. You just know. You say, oh, I've heard of that neighbor over there. He doesn't like people. You go knock on his door, ring his doorbell, or anything like that. He just never comes to the door. He doesn't like people. Unless he knows you and knows you're part of the family or something, he's got a peephole there and he looks out the peephole and says, yeah, that's not one of mine. Never opens the door. The Lord's not that way. The Lord is ready all the time to give. He's ready to provide guidance. We seek. He's ready to be accessed. He is ready to commune with us at all times. So God's will is that we acknowledge our absolute dependence on Him, and He will provide. He'll provide. He is ready for us to come to Him. He wants us to pray. He's ready for us to pray. And why don't we pray? I don't know. Because He's ready. He's willing. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You're going to find grace to help in time of need. You'll find mercy there. But we don't ask. So often we fail to ask. We fail to seek. We fail to knock. And then secondly, so God's will is that we acknowledge our absolute dependence on Him, that He wants us to come, and He is ready. He's ready to provide. God knows how to give good gifts to His children. That's the second point here. And that is what's said here. He knows how. It says, if someone comes and you ask for a son comes and asks for bread, is he going to get a stone? No, the father cares about his son. Or if he asks a fish, he's going to give him a serpent? No. He cares about just fathers in general. They care enough about the children that they're not going to give them something that's going to break their teeth or bite them and they end up being poisoned to death. That is, don't, fathers don't do that. And so if ye then being evil, he says, if just normal people, everybody's evil, we're all evil, we all have plenty, know how to give good gifts unto your children, says, if even evil people know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Asking good things from our Father moved Him to give good things. I mean, when we asked right things, good things, appropriate things, then He was motivated, our Father was motivated, I'm talking about our earthly Father, was motivated to give. Our Father gave useful and harmless things. He did not give things that were going to destroy us. He did not, and so we had to kind of trust that that was going to be the case. When we asked, that we can expect that there are going to be certain things he may think that, well, that's probably not a good gift for him to receive or for her to receive. And so we're going to give something, you know, give him something a little different. But the scripture says, but it also says that God is well able to give good gifts. He knows how to give good gifts. And you know what? Sometimes we don't always perceive the gifts that we get as good as they are, but they're good. When the Lord gives, when He gives us things, He gives good and perfect gifts. He gives gifts that are extremely appropriate and that are beneficial to us. They're going to be helpful to us, and they will bring us what He ultimately wants to give us, and that is joy. They will bring us joy. But we need to be those who are still asking. We need to be those who are seeking, knocking. And we need to be those who acknowledge the fact that our Lord really does love us, and He does give gifts unto us. So making a list. Are you making a list? Sometimes it's a good thing to make a list. And I'm not just talking about a list to the family on what good gifts that you want them to give you, but how about a list to the Lord of what are the good things that you desire of Him? And maybe you don't write it all down, but you're recording it in prayer. And you come into the Lord with your real needs and asking Him, knowing that He loves you and that He'll answer your prayers and He'll supply you your needs and He'll give you things that are good for you that are going to bring you joy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the way that you do care for us and meet our needs. Thank you, Lord, for your access, your love, your concern. We just pray that you might bless that we as your people would more fully appreciate and appropriate your wonderful care and love for us, that we would ask you, that we would do what the simple little thing that you've called upon us to do that shows our absolute dependence upon you. Help us to ask. Lord, strengthen us in our asking as we ask according to your will. Lord, especially remind us, help us to ask of you. Help us, Lord, to know that the good things that come to us in this life are so often given to us by our asking from you and depending upon you. And we just pray that you would bless and that you'd fill us with greater joy in our life as we live with this wonderful relationship of a father and a child with you, our God. And just pray that you might help us to live with that anticipation and appreciation, just like sometimes the kids do at Christmas time. Forgive us where we fail you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.